From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of December 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, trade groups have filed lawsuits against CFTC in hopes of having new commodities trading rules thrown out. MF Global's John Corzine will appear before Congress December the 8th, and the Eurozone sovereign debt crisis may be mitigated by modifying the EU treaty. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll tell you how the price of corn and soybeans has tumbled since harvest, and even more so after the USDA November 9th crop production report. While it appears world demand for U.S. crops has waned, there is evidence to the contrary. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract and the soft red winter wheat for the day. That's December at $5.98¾, down 13½. July, the harvest month at $6.42¼, 11¾ lower in Chicago for the soft red. Hard red in Kansas City at $6.89¼, down 8¾ cents. December corn futures back in Chicago, $5.80¼. The settlement price for the contract down 6¼. March futures, $5.91, 4¼ lower. And May corn at $5.99¼, down 3¾. July, $6.06, down 2¾. September, $5.71, 0.75 cents lower. December futures of next year, up a half cent at $5.53¾ a bushel. January soybean futures, $11.26¼, 9½ lower. The March at $11.36½, down 9¾. May futures, $11.47, 9¼ lower. July at $11.56¾, down 9½ cents. And August soybeans, $11.56¼, 9¼ lower. November beans, $11.49½, down 6 for the afternoon. December bean meal at $2.81.10, down $5.30. December bean oil at $50.07, 2 cents higher on the day. The Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures finished the February at $120.25, down $3. And the January contract in the feeder cattle, $144.30, $2.77½ lower. Lean hogs at $85.30, down 95 cents for the day. The outside markets at this hour say the January contract in the crude oil future just a penny lower for the day at $100.95. Ethanol at $2.50, down 0.3 cents, and natural gas for the day at $3.46 6/10 cents, 11 8/10 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.99 3/10 cents, up 0.3 cents, and the gold futures for the day, $1,730.70 an ounce, down $16.30. The Dow at 12,089, just about 69 points higher, and the dollar for the afternoon at 78.56. That's down 0.05. The CRB index at 313 is down 0.55 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Cloudy skies this afternoon, a high of just 36 degrees with a northwest wind at 11 to 13 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight with a low of 27, a north-northeast wind at 8 to 11, and Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 36 degrees. North-northeast winds will continue at 8 to 11. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 23. The wind shifts just a bit straight out of the north between 3 and 7, and then Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 36 degrees. The north-northwest wind returns with a 3 to 7 mile an hour run, and Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 23 degrees. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 37. Thursday night, cloudy and 22. Friday, sunny and a high near 29. Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 17. And Saturday, sunny skies, a high near 31. Saturday night, clear and 23. Sunday, sunny and a high near 40 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the outside markets, Dow Jones Industrial Average, has jumped dramatically over the last week, up, about 1,000 points or so. And the commodity markets were making a run for a bit, but they settled off for the day. What'd you make of the trade?
Oh, yeah, we started out firm first thing this morning, and we saw some erosion in the marketplace, commodity fund selling. Informa came out and talked about a bigger Chinese corn crop up to 190 million metric tons, about 5.5 bigger than where we are. It's up about 3%, and that sort of helped the market sort of roll over and move lower here. We found stability around 12 noon, 12:30. All heck broke loose on news. S&P warned that they're going to downgrade some of the other European countries, such as Germany, within the next 90 days. So that put the fear into the marketplace. We saw some fairly good liquidation. I know the fund sold over 5,000 contracts of corn and 3,000 beans, 3,000 wheat, about 2,000 meal. There's the day went on, just the liquidation. There's not a whole lot of buying interest in the marketplace on just renewed world economic fears there, Todd.
Yeah, producers call and talk too much today. Are they in the holiday spirit still?
Not a whole lot. I mean, we have quite a bit of communication on trading days, but for the most part, they're in a hands-in-the-pocket mentality. Guys have pretty well filled the bins or paid minimum storage, not too interested in moving a whole lot of cash grain here at this time frame. After the first year here, interest will pick up a little bit more. What we have done, though, is as far as guys who have sold, wanting to replace, we've done quite a bit of replacement strategies here. We've done some different types of scenarios where, you know, we sort of put a floor in here or even get some long positions on minimal downside risk with the idea that we've got some coverage on if the market does recover here going in this winter.
Let me ask you kind of a question that producers probably are grappling with and that may be holding them back from making sales of both corn and soybeans, and that would be a tax income problem that they might have. Is the bin door closed because they honestly believe that there'll be a higher price later in the year, or are they simply waiting it out for the next calendar year to show up?
A little bit of both. You know, as far as tax strategies go, there's ways to get around that a little bit, deferred payments, so forth. But
that and they can move income from one year to the other. It's one of the industries that is perfectly legal in.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, there's profit there if you're doing that or trying to defer income, you know,
right.
Expenses, balancing the books. And oftentimes you get into this second half of December, there's volume just goes completely dead because guys pretty well need to file their taxes or know where they are with taxes right after the first year, so they're really hesitant to do a whole lot. And that's why sometimes the volume goes down and sometimes we have some violent swings up or down here in the marketplace, Todd.
Well, then the other side of that question, the other part of the coin is, should they make new cash sales and actually make the deliveries?
Well, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it just depends on your old individual situation. Most guys are pretty well sold up and moved what they want to move here for the most part. If you have 100% of your old crop grain still on hand here, I believe that you probably got to, you know, start using some strength here this winter to start making some sales. And these 12 corn gets back up in this upper $5, close to $6. I think you got to make some 12 sales. And same thing on these November beans up towards the $12 benchmark. You got to make some sales there.
Well, that was my next question. So you have $5 to $6. That's pretty large range. We're at $5.53 3/4. You have kind of a target somewhere in there that makes sense for you for December corn? Of 2012, that is?
Yeah. If you don't have anything sold, I believe you got to use these 12 futures, 7 $5 to $80, $5.75, 580. Mm-hmm. If you got some sales already on, I think we sort of hold out, see if we could get back close to that $6 level. November beans, 12, same type of strategy there, back to 1175, 1180, and of course, you know, close to $12. I think those are obtainable here this winter, and that should be a benchmark to go for here over the next 60 to 90 days.
Okay, and then let me take you back to the beginning of our conversation where you told us about S&P thinking of downgrading potentially Germany at this point. Germany and France are trying to work out details to put the Eurozone and in a modified position across the Eurozone. So they have to go back to the drawing board from the very, very foundings of that organization. Has S&P created a new problem for them by their discussion of downgrading Germany in the future?
Well, I think it's a word of caution. I don't know if they're signaling what they're going to do here within the next 90 days, but it's part of the ongoing soap opera, going home Friday and even last night and even first thing this morning, you know, everything was good. And, of course, it's on, off type of drama. And right now we're kind of on an off situation here as far as, you know, investor confidence on getting the situation resolved. It's never going to be resolved here over the short term. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process. There's going to be a lot of pain involved, but we're going to have our good moments and bad moments. And right now we're back in a bad moments type of atmosphere.
I suppose the good news about that is it breaks one way or the other eventually, and it probably won't take too terribly long for it to do that, I wouldn't think.
Well, who knows the time window on this? It's been a news item here for about 8 months, and, mm-hmm. and it keeps getting the front page, so they're not letting it die down just yet.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Boy, livestock took it on the chin here.
Oh, I forgot about that thing. Stay with me on that one. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's we were hanging in there on decent demand. Now the fear is we're going to lose some demand here. Also, we went through some key support areas that generated a lot of commodity fund selling there. For the most part, we do see a little dip in beef demand this first 2 weeks of December, but after that, the demand picks up. So from an investor's point of view, we would use this break here in the beef sector to be a buyer here.
Yeah, at this point, though, we have a high price and a high supply, but that high supply is not going to last all that much longer, I wouldn't think.
No, when you look at the overall cattle inventory and cattle and feed report, you know, you have to kind of put things in perspective on the short term if we've got supply, but longer term we're still looking at tighter numbers. But we've got to continue to remember overall beef consumption is down 5 pounds per capita here from where we were over a year, 2 years ago, but the overall export market remains extremely strong, so it's going to be important for the export market to pick up the slack here in the U.S.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us, Kurt.
Okay, Todd, take care. Thanks.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report on this Monday afternoon. You can always hear him again on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our ag programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. Dave Dickey will be here in just a few moments with today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, trade groups jointly filed lawsuits on Friday in courts against CFTC, challenging newly authorized rules aimed at curtailing bets in the commodities markets. The Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association and the International Swaps and Derivatives Association filed joint lawsuits in the U.S. District Court and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. They asked that the rules on commodities trading to be thrown out or for regulators to be forced to justify the necessity of the rules that go into effect in 2012 and beyond. In legal filings, the trade groups said that the new laws for commodities trading were not subject to rigorous analysis before they were passed, and that there is not enough evidence to suggest that the regulations will reduce volatility in commodities prices. A congressional panel has subpoenaed former Senator John Corzine to testify this week about his role in leading MF Global, a brokerage firm that collapsed this fall after a disastrous bet on European debt. The December 8th hearing will be a rare moment in Washington. Congressional historians and Capitol Hill insiders cannot recall another time when a former member of Congress was summoned by his former peers to testify about a matter under federal investigation. The House Agriculture Committee voted Friday to issue the subpoena after Corzine failed to reply to an informal request to appear at the hearing. MF Global filed for bankruptcy protection on October 31st. Corzine resigned as chairman and CEO a few days later. In just a week, stock investors lost an estimated $585 million. Corzine has also been asked to testify later this month before two other panels, including the Senate Agriculture Committee. France and Germany have agreed on a series of reforms today to address the Eurozone sovereign debt crisis that will be presented to EU's president on Wednesday. The new proposals would include a modified EU treaty, ideally for all 27 EU members. The treaty includes automatic sanctions for states who fail to meet the 3% deficit rule, as well as a budget balancing rule across the Eurozone. Kraft Foods, which is splitting its business into two publicly traded companies, has named Chairman and CEO Irene Rosenfeld to head up its global snacks company. The other company will focus on the North American grocery business, and that will be headed by 55-year-old W. Anthony Vernon, who is Executive Vice President and President of Kraft Foods North America. Rosenfeld and Vernon will take on their new roles when the companies launch. The spinoff is expected to be complete by the end of next year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Now, up next, the price of corn and soybeans has tumbled since harvest, and even more so after the USDA November 9 crop production report. While it appears world demand for U.S. crops has waned, as you'll hear, there is evidence to the contrary. The downturn in the world economy has pushed the price of grain lower and caused many to believe world demand for commodities is in decline. Illinois ag economist Daryl Good isn't sure that's the case.
While world financial conditions are deteriorating, the impact on world grain consumption may be overstated. The record large exports of U.S. pork and beef in the face of record high prices provide evidence that world demand for food remains very strong.
That is demand for red meat, but not necessarily the grains and oilseeds used to feed animals in other parts of the world. There is a rebound in grain and oilseed supplies on the world stage. Good has some interesting thoughts about the domestic demand, too, in this case for corn, which to this point has been very strong.
Domestic demand prospects for corn remain mixed. Current demand is very strong as ethanol production continues to exceed the pace of a year ago, and record high hog and cattle prices, along with large feedlot inventories of cattle, support feed demand. Reduced broiler production prospects for fewer cattle on feed in 2012 and the upcoming expiration of the blender's tax credit for ethanol may point to weaker domestic demand in 2012.
That statement reflects a strong price scenario for corn over the near term, but one that weakens as the focus of the commodity markets turns from old crop supplies to the new crop planting season in the United States.
Prospects for 2012 crops begin with expectations about planted and harvested acreage for all crops and for individual crops. In general, an increase in total acreage is expected next year due to the large area of prevented plantings in 2011. The USDA's Farm Service Agency reports 9.6 million acres of prevented plantings this year, up from 6.9 million in 2009 and 4.2 million in 2008. However, the change in prevented plantings is not always closely correlated to the change in planted acres.
The correlation may not be there, but the available acres certainly will be in play, as will be the 1.6 million acres scheduled for release from the Conservation Reserve Program. Top that off with a larger harvested acreage number based on a percentage, and if the weather holds for the U.S. growing season, it should continue to reflect the lower corn price already being built in to Chicago corn futures. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Hey, if you haven't pre-registered yet for next week's Illinois Farm Economics Summits, that'll take place in Champaign, DeKalb, Galesburg, Mount Vernon, and Bloomington Monday through Friday. You can still do it. Pre-registration ends today at 5 o'clock, so visit the Farm Doc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu, $50. And you can visit with Daryl Good, along with Gary Schnitke and Scott Irwin, Bruce Sherrick, and Nick Paulson, all to talk about agricultural economics. And the folks from Illinois NAS will be there, too. I'm emceeing that event. I hope you get the opportunity to come out and see us. We start around 7:30. You can still go ahead and pre-register at the Farm Doc site at farmdoc.illinois.edu. Of course, walk-ins are welcome. That will cost you an extra $15. Walk-ins, $65 on the day of at each of the events. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Michael Yeoman. He's at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I suspect there's not a lot of grain movement in our part of the world today coming into the elevator. Would that be correct?
That would be correct. I think we're going to see it start to pick up more towards January.
Of that is in your elevator at this point, are you still moving it out fairly quickly by rail and other means?
Yeah, we still have some trains moving, starting to pick up the pile that we had for fall.
Yeah, and so you had, what, about a million bushels in that, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you've got that. You've got trains that are moving. That's still, that I suppose, tells me that you're still getting pretty good basis levels on the trains and probably overs yet. Is that right?
Rail values are definitely starting to back off a bit from where they were. It doesn't seem like the basis has quite as much strength as, you know, we were seeing during fall. Here in Champaign now, we're one over the March board.
And what were you in the...
We were bidding 9 and 10 over the D's board after you take the spread of about 7 or 8 cents into consideration. It's close to the same values, but it still seems like the rail value is a little bit weaker.
Man, the rail value is weaker. Is that because Ohio is starting to supply that southeast corridor again?
Well, there was corn that Ohio still had in the field a couple weeks back, so I'd say they'd be finishing up with harvest over there.
Okay, and what are your basis levels for soybean like today?
We're 14 under the January.
And your bids are?
592 on corn and 1112 on beans.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Todd.
Michael Yeoman is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report. For some of you, we'll say goodbye now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Also, if you haven't done it yet, visit the Farm Doc website and pre-register for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. It should be a good week next week. I hope to see you on the road. farmdoc.illinois.edu.
It's National Tort Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, Clinton Hart Merriam was born. A biologist, he studied the effects of using birds to control agricultural pests. He also helped found the National Geographical Society, and he was the first chief of what is today the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. In 1864, Lewis Jones died, a U.S. agricultural biologist. His studies made possible a much greater control of potato diseases and increased yield. He also carried out fundamental studies on bacterial soft rot in carrots and other vegetables. In 1876, D.C. Stilson patented the first practical pipe wrench. In 1869, he had whittled a model out of wood, which he showed to his boss at the Walworth Company. Stilson was instructed to test one built out of steel. The test convinced the company owner that the concept was sound. In 1937, Ernest Brundin and Frank Lyon set up the first commercial-scale hydroponic plant culture system. A patent was issued to them on December 1st of 1936 for, quote, a system of water culture. And in 2006, New York became the first U.S. city to ban artificial trans fats in restaurant food. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. I'm ULVI Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I suspect you can't see all that far today. It's kind of gray here. Is it there as well?
Yeah, it's overcast and pretty much gloomy.
Will we see sunshine this week?
We will see some sun later on this week once we get this Arctic air mass that's flowed down into the nation's midsection. So we get the center of it to pretty much come over us here coming up the middle part of this week. That'll help to clear out skies and at least show the sun here. It's also going to produce slightly cooler than normal temperatures, but not as cold as areas of the plains and even parts of the southwest, which we're seeing unseasonably cold temperatures, temperatures as much as 10, even 15 degrees colder than normal for this time of year.
And how cold is that?
Well, we will see temperatures dropping below zero in parts of Nebraska and even temperatures down to the freezing mark as far south as cities such as Houston and Corpus Christi, basically down to the Gulf Coast, coming up on tomorrow and even on into Wednesday morning. From an agriculture standpoint and impact, despite these readings being unseasonably cold for this time of year, they still are not threatening for the hard red winter wheat crop, especially for those areas dropping below zero. Because, well, the only reason why they're dropping below zero is because they have adequate snow cover, and that's allowing temperatures to rapidly cool off at night. So not an issue from an agricultural standpoint.
Turn your attention to southern hemisphere, that is, and talk about Argentina, Brazil, crops there.
Yeah, well, the focus of attention is on some developing pockets of dryness in portions of Brazil, namely in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, and then up kind of on the border of Mato Grosso and northern Mato Grosso do Sul. Those areas look to see significant improvement here coming up over the next week to 10 days as the pattern here is turning more active across Brazil. So it looks like with high confidence we will see improvement here in soil moisture reserves in those dry pockets, and that will maintain the currently good growing conditions and yield prospects at this time. Down in Argentina, they're going to be turning a little bit drier here this week, but with adequate soil moisture reserves, Argentina is not in, is not having any kind of issues. So, and it looks like rains return in week two of the forecast as well. So all in all here, South America continues to kind of chug along here without any kind of major issues at this stage of the season.
It seems like Australia in the first time for a long time has a better wheat crop than they have had. Is that going to continue to be the case or not?
Well, the thing we're watching is and the potential risk is for more wetness issues for the wheat crop, particularly in Queensland and northern New South Wales. That's the area that got hit by flooding a year ago. They're seeing some flooding again this year, just not to the magnitude as a year ago, but certainly some could be some slight reduction here in production because of those wetness issues.
Thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers.